Welcome to Venango County Tea Party Patriots audio interview with the candidates. These interviews are provided as a service to those who want to be informed and educated voters. Venango County Tea Party Patriots is an affiliate of the National Tea Party Patriots, a grassroots organization of voters interested in protecting our Constitution and keeping elected officials accountable to their oath of office. Local meetings are held on the fourth Saturday of every month at 9 a.m. unless otherwise noted in the newspaper or on our email list. If you consider yourself a patriot and would like to be a part of this group, you can email Jane at vcTPP.org. That's Jane at vcTPP.org or call 814-671-7110. That's 814-671-7110. And now to our interview. Our guest today is Craig Westover, who is the Republican candidate running for the Commissioner of Venango County in the 2015 primaries. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you. Appreciate the invitation.
Mm-hmm. We'll get right to the questions here. Can you give us a short synopsis of why you want to run for this position in Venango County and what qualifications you bring to the job?
Sure, Jane. I want to continue my public service as an elected county commissioner because I'm a candidate. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ and the moral code that he reveals in the Holy Scripture, and it should be present on all levels of government. And I believe that all officials, individuals, elected or appointed, need to follow the law as stated in the Scripture. We look at Proverbs, various chapters, chapter 8, 17, 28, and 29, to tell us that we're performing the duties of our office or living life that we should follow the rule of law. I want to work and secure the protect the family unit. I want to work to help create the opportunities here for the families that want to live in Venango County, receive a good education, and be prosperous in their chosen endeavor. My qualifications, I believe, is my previous service of two terms on Franklin City Council, along with being successfully self-employed for 30 years, demonstrates I know what it takes to make good educated decisions at the county level of government. And I hope that my service over the past 19 years as a constable in Venango County has become known to the citizens. I take the position as an elected official seriously. I hope that my work ethic that is known is of a 24/7 availability as an elected contractor for the county and all citizens. And I hope they know that I put all the hours necessary to faithfully discharge the duties of my office. I want them to know that I balance the duties while maintaining a marriage of 35 years, raising two children, serving on a number of community boards, and updating my education as time permits. And I want to work to make sure my four-year-old granddaughter and the generations before and after her have the opportunity to be successful if they choose to stay in Venango County. Families should have the opportunity to stay together if they so choose. Too many people lament that their children and grandchildren had to move away for job and educational opportunities and that they miss seeing them. This is a sad situation. My heart goes out to them.
Mm-hmm. And so the next question that I have, you've sort of alluded to, but I'll ask it anyhow, and that is, what is your estimate of the time that you feel you would need to accomplish the jobs of commissioner's duty? Is it a full-time job, do you think?
Absolutely. I believe you first must require of yourself the mindset of being available 24/7 when considering any elected office. I also believe that the best answer when estimating the time needed is a willingness to put in all the hours necessary to faithfully discharge all the duties required of the commissioner's office. It also requires being present and available upon request by any citizen, group, employees, or agency that have issues or concerns and give timely responses. And I believe in the Sunshine Act that requires transparency when making decisions. As a commissioner, I'm committed to full public discussion and advertised meetings before voting on an issue. This will require being available for longer meetings, as I'm sure full public discussion of issues will take up more time. And I've demonstrated to my previous service on City Council and other community groups my commitment to make the decision-making process as transparent as possible.
You're running under the Republican ticket, and how long have you been a member of the Republican Party, and why are you a Republican?
I've been a member of the Republican Party for the past 29 years. I started my first business and became self-employed in 1985. I found out within a year of startup that the survival of my business career depended on understanding, adopting, and working to further the fundamental principles of the Republican Party. These include believing that it takes free enterprise and personal initiative to encourage opportunity, economic growth, and prosperity of business people like myself. I believe that my party works to protect the dignity of every individual while guaranteeing the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I also believe in limited government that practices fiscal responsibility and keeps taxes low so that the citizen can keep more of their hard-earned money. I believe in strong national, state, and local defense against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and the preservation of democracy and the rule of law. I also believe the Republican Party gives us the best opportunity to further these principles.
As a commissioner, you will take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and also the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So what does that mean to you as you consider this position of public service?
Well, I've had an exposure over the years to the Constitution. You know, our formation as a country and the adoption of the Constitution was brought about the oath of office in 1789. You know, the oath was expanded in 1862 in order to ensnare traitors that were covertly supporting the Southern insurrection and expose their treasonous behavior. The oath that we now recite more closely resembles the model that was adopted in 1884 after tensions with the Southern states cooled down. I take the oath seriously in front of God as my witness that everyone in government is bound by the rule of law and the Constitution of the United States and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. My oath requires supporting and defending the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. My oath also requires maintaining constant vigilance against wrongdoing that could damage or destroy our American system of government. I believe that a thorough understanding of the Bill of Rights by all our officials should be a requirement to assume office. And I personally have been blessed with the opportunity to further study the Constitution at the university level and also teach the Bill of Rights as a contracted instructor as part of the Pennsylvania Act 49 Constable Training Program, also to local citizen firearms groups and citizen self-defense classes. My belief is that the Constitution is a living document that needs to be understood by all elected officials and citizens. Only then will our people understand the seriousness of swearing a solemn oath to uphold it.
So as a commissioner, you will be dealing with budgets. What is your philosophy on balancing the budget of the county and what priorities apply?
Well, balancing the budget first requires an in-depth analysis and understanding of the level of revenues coming in, along with the expenditures necessary to support each program and activity that the county government engages in. A good understanding of the types of revenue available and working to expand development and expansion of our real estate base will be a key to balancing the budget. This will require communicating and building good working relationships with other levels of government. These relationships will help us identify other potential sources of revenues and grants. Analyzing the expenditure size of the budget should require face-to-face interviews with department supervisors, staff, and contractors that supply services to the county. Thorough reports and recommendations by the county auditors, finance director, and others regarding past and projected performance of each program and discussion of the necessity of each program is key to being fiscally prudent. Priority will be given to funding all programs that are mandated by rule of law or regulation. Recognition of unfunded mandates thrust onto us by other levels of government will also need to receive funding priority. Containment of costs and the size of each program require an ongoing review throughout the fiscal year. Discretionary spending will have to meet established standards that will be set in order to be considered for funding. Providing protection to our citizens that are unable to provide on their own due to disability or circumstances will also be a priority of mine. The ability to be innovative and willingness to consider different opinions will be a key ingredient to balancing the budget. Finally, we need to understand the concept that the Creator gave us 2 years and 1 mouth, so we listen more than we talk. We may actually hear some new ways of getting the job done.
Could be, huh? Of all the boards that the commissioners have to sit on, some of them are required, and they can be quite lengthy and everything, but what area of county government most interests you?
The area of government that interests me the most right now is the human services side. It currently commands the largest portion of the county budget, and I've seen with my own eyes, I've witnessed over the past 19 years as a constable, the increasing disintegration of the family unit and the rule of law here locally. My service for the past year, 5 years on the Domestic Violence Shelter Advisory Board has shown me that our county has pressing needs in the areas of domestic violence and sexual assault. I want to make sure that we're spending the appropriate level of our tax dollars on the most vital programs in the area of human services that statistics show need more attention. And I want to work to make sure that all the human services programs are working in tandem with the law enforcement and judicial system to improve the quality of life, educate our people, and ultimately eliminate violence against these victims. This violence needs to be stopped before it starts by educating our citizens from an early age that violence against anyone is not acceptable in our society. The teaching of concepts of service to others and the rule of law need to take place.
Many of our citizens have concerns about how the UN policies regarding Agenda 21 and how it will affect our county and communities. Can you address this concern at all?
The United Nations policy regarding Agenda 21 is a concern of mine due to its initial appearance as a goal regarding sustainable development. I believe after you study this issue that it really attempts to subvert the religion of Christianity with the religion of environmental and economic development. I believe it's a conspiracy of the United Nations to deprive individuals of property rights, not only here in the United States, but elsewhere. It may be a wolf in sheep's clothing. The policy was proposed at a UN conference on environment and development in 1992. The number 21 relates to the 21st century. in-depth analysis of this policy, the people and countries promoting it, and a review of the scripture leads me to conclude this is a bad policy. The implementation of this policy has already been backdoored into some communities across this country without the citizens being properly educated on the subject. My personal opinion regarding the policy is that it is an attempt by the supporters to continue to erode the sovereignty of the United States. I believe the continued support of the UN or any future version of that organization will result in the eventual capitulation of the United States under one world government rule and one world currency. The UN is attempting to influence authority over the United States already by crafting other policies, with a couple examples being the UN Arms Trade Treaty and the recent UN Net Neutrality Plan. I cannot say with certainty that we are in the end times. Only our Creator knows the entire plan. I do believe, however, the review of the Scriptures, in particular Revelation chapter 13, are warranted when considering all the long-term implications, the countries, the people, and the behind-closed doors that have been involved in attempting to infiltrate Agenda 21 into our way of life.
This might tie in, I don't know, but can you explain what is meant by a land bank? And is this something that our county government should be involved in?
Well, the formation of Venango County of a land bank was established by the creation of a Pennsylvania Legislative Act 153 of 2012. And the stated purpose of the land bank is to use available resources to facilitate the return of vacant, blighted, abandoned, and tax-delinquent properties to productive use. Some of the stated goals of the legislation is to stop community deterioration and create economic growth. The legislation requires a diverse membership on the board of directors and includes a citizen director. Since this is a relatively new board, I found limited information as to the activities so far that we're doing here to inform an opinion at this time on the land bank. However, any of these types of activities also concerns me about a push towards socialism. And the legislation does provide a mechanism to dissolve the board if at a later date we find that it is detrimental to the county and its citizens. I believe that more emphasis should be placed on limiting the amount of commercial property being taken over by the county and other tax-exempt agencies. And I believe more private-public development projects that keep properties on the tax rolls to be more desirable. Our current policies continue to erode our available real estate tax base and puts more pressure on the remaining taxable properties.
One of the issues in the news that the commissioners will be dealing with is the proposal for the Oil City parking garage. Can you give us your opinion on that current issue and the ultimate plan for that property?
Well, the pros for the county and its citizens is that I believe there's an obligation that we have to help assist, if feasible, any of our municipalities with blight projects if requested. This helps the overall morale of the affected community. The development of guidelines by the county commissioners for consideration of any project, including a cost-benefit analysis to the local community and the county as a whole, should be considered to deter allegations of favoritism or playing politics with taxpayer dollars. And I believe consideration should be given for standalone projects involving demolition of blighted properties and allowing private developers to build on those sites. The opinions I have received from Oil City residents are split between the desire of getting the ramp demolished and building anything in this place versus those that want private development that focuses on putting the property on the tax rolls and creating retail or manufacturing jobs. My personal opinion is that the private-public partnership to develop the transportation hub would be more desirable. The county could consider a long-term lease to attract a developer that would build it to our specifications and own the property and have it on the tax rolls. Various state agencies use this type of model when a need for building a new building occurs. The cost of going it alone on these types of projects that we become dependent on getting state funding in an attempt to not saddle the local taxpayers with a large bill of expense. There's a lot of competition for grant money across the state, and a lot of worthy projects do not get funded. By owning this facility, we assume 100% of the maintenance and upkeep until the end of the building's lifespan. I have to question if the cost of building a transportation hub was factored in when the Venango buses went from being operated by an independent contractor to being operated by the county and the expansion of the size of county government to provide the service. Finally, I question if a traffic study was completed of our entire bus service area and did it show the parking ramp area as the best location for the transportation hub. These are the type of tough questions, pro and con considerations for future project, that I'll ask as a commissioner. The application process is already underway for this project. If state grant funding can be attained and the project completed without adversely affecting the financial health of county government and barring any other unforeseen problems, I'll support it moving forward.
And last question we have here is regarding the election board. Since the commissioners serve on the election board, what steps do you think need to be taken to make sure our elections are free from voter fraud and machine malfunction?
Well, unfortunately, my research found that Common Cause and Verified Voting Foundation both reported that predominant voting systems used across the country at this time have shown significant security and reliability weaknesses. One of the more reliable voting systems shown by the organizations that actually study voter fraud is an electronic voting system with a paper trail. The answer, I believe, is to investigate obtaining an end-to-end auditable or verifiable paper receipt voting machine system. The ability to have an electronic system combined with a paper record backup allows post-election audit that gives checks and balances of the electronic tally. We need to conduct a review of our election procedures, and anything that appears out of the ordinary or gives the appearance of impropriety needs to be checked out and resolved. I would also consider moving the entire ballot counting and verification process off-site of the annex building to a rented facility and put in additional electronic security safeguards if there's a realistic risk of computer hackers being able to compromise the election results. I definitely am interested and open-minded about this issue. After printing off and reviewing the run statistics of the May 17, 2011 County Commissioner's race with six Republican candidates and 5,372 Republican votes cast. Remember that each voter can select two candidates for commissioner from their party in the primary. We know that some voters select two candidates, some select one, some select none. The puzzling part of this to me was the final total showed that the top two commissioner candidates in 2011 received exactly 2,190 votes each. What is the mathematical possibility that two out of six candidates with 5,372 ballots cast end up with the same exact amount of votes? I keep a copy of that printout with me that shows these results if anybody cares to see it. To me, these vote totals are possible, but I believe that the results warrant further review of our election process going into the future to make sure our computer counters are working properly.
Well, I thank you very much, Craig, for taking your time to participate in this audio interview. We're hoping that the voters are well informed as they go to the polls. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You have been listening to the Venango County Tea Party Patriots audio interviews with the candidates. We encourage all voters to vote. Every election is important. It is a patriot's duty to exercise this right. Thank you for taking time to be an informed voter. Please continue to check our website at www.vcttpp.org for more educational resources.